let's stand on our feet, and we're going to do one of the more recent ones that we put together on our blessings here at High Point, and this is titled, What We Say. Amen. And these are things that the Bible actually specifically tells us that we should be saying in our life. So how many of you know if the Bible tells you you should be saying it, you ought to be saying these things regularly. Amen. So that's what this is comprised of. So let's say it like we mean it, like we believe it. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess what He told us to say. Jesus Christ is Lord and He reigns. I am the redeemed of the Lord and I say so. I am the righteousness of God and it shall be well with me. I am strong in the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God and in Him I will trust. I also boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So if God is for me, who can be against me? Let the Lord be magnified, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Jesus is Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. And do we say that in this place? Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, a lot of people don't like to say that. You know why? Because they're not ready for Him to come. They know they got to get some things right in their life. And that's an important part of it. But listen, just live your life each day like it's the first day of your Christian life and the last day of your Christian life. You live every day like that, you're not going to have any problem when He shows back up. Amen. Amen. Well, let's open our Bible to the book of Revelation. Revelation, not revelations, Revelation. Which it's what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to review this morning in a little bit of a different way. I want to review this morning sharing with you what I am personally getting out of this study that we're on. Because we're on part four this morning of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, there's just been some things coming alive on the inside of me. Things that are fundamental truths that we've known before. But I think we do the same thing that Paul warned us not to do in the church of Corinth. You remember when he said over in one of those letters, he said, like Satan beguiled Eve through his craftiness, I encourage you not to leave the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And what is that? Well, when they were in the garden, things were simple. Life was not complicated. They didn't have a list of rules and regulations and teachings that they were constantly trying to adhere to. It was just enjoying life in the presence of God, in the paradise of God. They were eaten of any tree. They could have from any tree except one, right? But Satan came in and got them to look, instead of at all the things that they did have, to look at the one thing they didn't have. And I think the devil is very effective in this in our lives as well. We've got so many things to be thankful for that we should be enjoying in our life, and the devil loves to get us to get distracted and look at something else. And we leave the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Which to me, one of the most simple parts of the Christian faith is this, what we learned in part one of this series, is that Jesus is the revelation. It's not the beast, it's not the Antichrist, it's not all these negative judgments and plagues and various things we're going to look at today. It's all about Jesus. How many of you know your life, my life, is all about Jesus? And I'm just telling you, a lot of people don't live their life this way. Even good-hearted, well-meaning Christians, they overcomplicate things and they get focused on this teaching, on this Bible verse, and on these different things, and they miss the fact it's just about having relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned this as we went through the seven churches of Revelation, that it started with returning to your first love, and it ended in Laodicea with opening the door of your heart when the Lord's knocking and He wants to come in. He wants to sit down, have fellowship with you. And you don't have to have 32 degrees at the end of your name. You know, you can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. You realize that? You can be educated as all get out and know all this kind of stuff and know the Bible frontwards and backwards and still be dry, dead, cold, and lifeless. But if you got a relationship with Jesus and your heart is inclined towards Him and you're loving Him, He's a big part of your life, and you're living your life like you're married to the Lord, boy, you're going to hit it much better than all these theologians out there that say they know a lot of stuff about eschatology, for example. So my point is this today: get back to your first love. Man, I mean, return to Jesus, make it all about Him, and love on Him. And if you're not spending regular time with Him each day, we're missing it. You know? So let's make it all about Him. Now, what we learned last week is another huge point. And I'll tell you, I've been living my life, for the past few weeks particularly, much more with the awareness of what's going on in the spirit world when I'm living in this natural world. And you remember we went over to Revelation chapter 4 last week about when the voice came from heaven that said there's an open door in heaven, says, come up hither, come up higher. So we made the point that this was a transition in the book of Revelation. Everything from chapter 4 through chapter 22 is all showing us what will take place. Amen. So everything John was seeing was from heaven's perspective, not the earth's. So it's for that reason that I believe that everything that he did see, which was some pretty strange, weird stuff, was what was going on in the spirit realm from heaven's perspective, things which were influencing the natural physical world. So I personally believe, I told y'all to take this as trayology, that the things that we see, a lot of the things that we see in the book of Revelation from chapter 4 through chapter 22 are what's happening in the spiritual realm that's influencing the natural realm. And I'll just tell you some of the things that we've been experiencing in this very wonderful, I speak sarcastically, 2020. Viruses, social issues, and now we're going to have a big political thing going on here in a couple of months. I'm going to tell you a lot of the stuff we have experienced and will experience in this year isn't just what we see with our physical eyes. There has been spiritual influence behind a lot of these things. And it's for that reason I'm telling you, even in our own personal life, the feelings, the thoughts, the different things that come into our life, I'm telling you, we think, well, I'm just thinking this way. Or they did this to me. Or this is what circumstances going on in my life. I'm telling you, there are spiritual influences that are behind those things. Many of the temptations we incur in our life, that strong longing to have something you know you're not supposed to have, right? Do you know that you're getting help with that? The devil's coming in and telling you and whispering in your ear and just bringing those thoughts, and it's actually increasing the feelings and the emotions on the inside of you. I'm telling you, there are circumstances that are unseen, just like there are circumstances that are seen. So we need to live with this awareness of what's happening in the spirit world, because it's going to be imperative that when we enter into these last of the last days, which we don't know how far along we are in it, we can speculate, but I'm here to tell you today that there are things that are going to get a lot worse than they are today. I mean, 2020 has been a pretty rough year for a lot of people, right? How many of you know it's not a drop in the bucket of what's going to happen? We're entering into the great tribulation, which the Bible describes there will be trumpets blowing. Guess what we've been experiencing? Little bugles. Not the big deal, right? So the big deal's on the way, so it's going to be imperative that we see things with spiritual eyes, not just with physical eyes. So these are some of the things I've been taking away from this. But now let's pick up in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to read through these. We're going to cover a plethora. There you go, Bruce. A plethora of scriptures today. We were joking about the word plethora this week. A lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to read through them because that's going to take a lot of the time. But let me just give you a quick overview of some of the things we will be covering, and then we'll hear what the Spirit is saying to us in this place. Now, in chapter 6 through about midway through chapter 8, we have the next event that unfolds to John. Now, we saw in chapter 5 that all of heaven was weeping over the fact there was not one worthy to take the scroll out of the right hand of God. But then they saw a lamb who was slain, who arose and said, I'll take that scroll, and then he takes it. Now, in chapter 6, what we see through the midway part of chapter 8 is that this particular scroll had 7 seals on it. All right? And when the Lamb would break each one of those 7 seals, we would see a certain plague, a certain thing that would come upon the earth in the last days that would unfold the end of time. Right? Now, I'm not going to be the one that's going to stand before you today and tell you what I think all of these things are, which includes the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, the 144,000 Jews that will come into the kingdom of God in that day. You got a lot of people out there that consider themselves to be experts out there on these things. You can go read these things on your own. It's not going to do you any good for me to tell you my opinion. What I am going to give you is what the Holy Spirit is saying through these things. Because we see these 7 seals broken, and then what we see after the 7th seal was broken is 7 trumpet blasts. Now, what most people will tell you is these trumpets and these seals are the great tribulation that will take place on the earth, which is commonly known to be a 7-year period that will transpire at the very end of time. And here's another point of controversy when we talk about these things. There are a group of Christians, 2 different groups, actually 3 different groups, but 2 main ones. Some that believe we ain't going to be here when them 7 years come. The pre-tribulation rapture group, the pre-trib group. Then you got the other group over here that's, we're going through the tribulation and we're going to be here. If you're alive and remain and you haven't died by that point, you're going to go through those 7 years and you are going to experience those things until Jesus comes back. You want to know what my opinion is? Okay, well then I'm not going to give it to you. I wasn't going to give it to you anyways. My point is this, it doesn't matter what you think on that, what this person thinks or what that person thinks. The point I live by is this, are you ready for whatever will come? If you're here or if you're not. And that's the real point. Because I personally believe that even though we could possibly be here through that time, we don't have to be touched by that time. Because we live in Goshen. Hallelujah. And we can be protected from the plagues. We can be protected from the trumpets. All the different things that are coming on the earth. We can live in the freedom of it not touching us. And I'll share with you some scriptures on that. In fact, I'll start out by doing that right now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Now, the negativity that comes with the tribulation and all these different things, it's just our tendency to focus on negative things. Have you ever noticed that we even name things from a negative slant? You know, I'm a big baseball fan, and one thing, some of y'all might not know about this, but in baseball, you have these things that, you have lines that go up, which are the foul line, right? And it goes all the way up, and then you got these big poles that come up into the outfield. And what are they called? Foul poles. Now, do you know if you hit the ball and it hits the pole, guess what? The ball's fair. So why do they call them foul poles instead of fair poles? Something to think about today. It's because we have a tendency to focus on the negative rather than the positive. I'll give you a good example of this. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, some of you that are learned in the scriptures, if I said, what's in Hebrews chapter 6? Oh, people will say this. Oh, that's the one that says if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, that there is no more repentance for us, and it's bad. You don't want to be that person that sins willfully, tramples underfoot the blood of Christ. But, you know, I went and looked at the chapter, and I found out that after he said that, he said in verse 9, he said, but we are confident of better things concerning you, things which accompany salvation. So why don't we ever get to that verse, which is the positive side of it, instead of saying, oh, am I the one that sinned, and this and that. No, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Hebrews to say, I'm confident in something better in you, and yours is salvation. How many of you know what salvation means? Nothing missing, nothing broken, healing, deliverance, glory to God. That's what we got. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, I wanted to go over here because Paul gives us a brief little exposition on the end times. These times that we know as the tribulation and so forth. And this is an important point for us this morning, something that I think will encourage us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Now, you know what I feel like saying this morning? Concerning these events of the end times, the tribulation, the plagues, the bowls of wrath, all these different things, you have no need that I should preach to you today. Why? Look at the next verse. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, you know, if you study end time events, do you know what's very clear? The thing that's repeated the most, it's Jesus' return. And it's always described as a thief in the night, which is like what? If you're sleeping, you know, that's when thieves come. They come when you're not expecting it. Now, of course, the Lord is not a thief. But he's using this as an example that he's going to come at an hour, at a time when people are not ready for him to come. That's just the way it's going to be, because he says in the next verse, notice this, for when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. We'll get back to this in a moment, but let's keep reading. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen. So he just told us we're not in darkness. It's not going to overtake you and I. He's supposing that we as born again, spirit-filled Christians are living with the wherewithal on the inside of us, that we're awake, that we're ready, and we are looking for his second coming. Which is the whole point. It's not the bad things that are going to happen. It's the good and glorious thing that will happen when Jesus returns. And that is our entire focus. What our perspective is set on. Notice the next verse. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Next verse. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Say, watch and be sober. Next verse. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Verse 8. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So interestingly enough, that's why we sing this song this morning about our living hope, because what he's saying right there is he's not talking about putting on a literal helmet. He's saying surround your mind, encompass your thinking with the hope of your salvation. In other words, this is the way we ought to be thinking. Verse 9. Oh, this is the verse I want. If you don't get anything else out of today, this is the verse I want you to retain. For God, because God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to read this together twice. Let's read it together. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more time. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, I'm going to tell you this morning that whether you believe we're going to be here through the tribulation or we're going to be raptured out before it ever happens, this is what we know to be true. Is whether we're here or we're not, God has not appointed me to wrath. Now, some people take this verse as being proof there will be a pre-tribulation rapture, and that's how he pulls us out, and we don't experience the wrath of God. But again, I don't believe that's necessarily how it has to work. You can be here and not experience the wrath of God. Amen. If you go on and read in Revelation chapter 7, I believe it was, after we read in chapter 6, he says this, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the fierceness of his wrath is coming. right? But you know what he says right after that? He says that those who have the seal of God on their foreheads, that will be here during that time. Now, whether it's those that get converted during that time or not, that's not the point. The point is this, is that those that have the seals on them will not be touched by those plagues that will come. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know you want to have the seal of God on your forehead? Not just in the great tribulation, but in the little ones too. Oh, glory to God. Because listen, when it comes to tribulation, tribulation just basically means this. Tight pressure, heavy situations in our life. And you know, out of all the things we're redeemed from, we are redeemed from sickness, disease, poverty. We are redeemed from a lot of things. But you know one thing we're not redeemed from? Persecution and tribulation. As long as we live in the world, Jesus promised us this, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. How many of you know that's just as much of a promise as by His stripes you were healed? In the world, you will have tribulation. And this is what's important to understand about this is, when you know it's coming, you ought to be prepared for it so it doesn't devastate you. Right? And that's why if you go back to 1 Thessalonians and you back up to that verse that we just looked at when it said in verse 3, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." So there is something to be said that when you study the New Testament, you got a lot of warnings, descriptions of what the end time events are going to look like. And you know why the Lord tells us what they're going to look like? So you're not caught unaware when they do happen. So that you're thinking spiritually minded during that time and saying, oh yeah, this is that thing that's supposed to come. Like for example, do you know what's about to hit the United States or what it looks like? Is there actually not one, but two hurricanes coming up through the Gulf right now. Now I'll tell you, just from things like that happening, unusual, odd, natural disasters, circumstances that come upon the earth, all of that should be shining a light on the inside of us that end times, last days, these are the things that must come to pass. But I see a lot of Christians not act like they even know those things are supposed to happen. And they're trying to get out of them. But the bottom line is, they're good news in some ways. I lost some of you there. They really are. Because notice what he describes right here. He says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." Notice this description. "As labor pains upon a pregnant woman." Now, thank God, I have not experienced what I just read to you. I know a lot of you ladies in here have experienced labor pains, contractions, birth pains, as the Bible calls them in different ways. And it's not pleasurable, is it? It's painful. It hurts. And you don't like that part that you go through. But you know what I have personally never met in my life? I've never met a woman who has just gone through labor pains and all of the worst excruciating pain she's ever experienced in her life, be handed that baby and wish that she never went through those pains. Why? Because it's the birth of something beautiful and it made all the pain you went through worth it. And oh baby, we got something to look forward to. And that's what it's all about. This is the way we should be living. In fact, go over to Matthew 24. Let me show you something. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say it with me. Say, I'm pregnant. None of the ladies wanted to say that. Did you notice that? But the world is. The earth is pregnant. And contractions are getting closer and closer and closer. And what that means is the pain's getting more and more intense. And you're seeing this. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, don't look at just 2020 this way. 2020 is just an example of something that is to come. But ever since in our generation and generations before us, guess what? Things have escalated. You're seeing more earthquakes. You're seeing more hurricanes and tsunamis. And you're seeing things happen. You know what the earth is doing? It's travailing. It's getting ready to give birth to the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells. Babies on the way. Jesus told us this here in Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them," see, they wanted to know, what are the signs of the end in your coming? "Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Say it with me. "See that you are not troubled." So Jesus is making a point here to let you know that when all this stuff starts happening, you and I are not supposed to be troubled like the world will be troubled. Why? Because we know it's coming and we know the outcome. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now, the word that's used for sorrows here is actually the Greek word for birth pangs. So Jesus is saying these things are just the beginning of giving birth to something. So what we're seeing right now is the beginning of the beginning of when the new heavens and the new earth is going to be given birth to, which is not supposed to be a terrifying time. It's supposed to be an exciting time. Amen. In fact, go over to James. Let me show you something. James 1. Let's bring this down. Instead of looking at the big trumpets, let's bring this down to our little bugles that we're experiencing in our life, okay? Because really, in all honesty, all the things that we go through, the heartaches, the trials and tribulations, they're nothing compared to the things we read in Revelation. So let's look at this in perspective. In James 1, he says, "My brethren," I mean, right after he addresses them to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he gets right into this. "My brethren, count it all joy when," not if, "when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing." Now, I love how he starts off here. He says, "when you fall into various trials." Now, you know, I don't know too many people that fall on purpose. Hey, watch this, Pastor. Ugh! No, you fall by accident. Nobody's expecting it, nor are you. So when he talks about falling into various trials, this is something that, ooh, I fell into by accident. I didn't know it was coming, right? So when you fall into these various trials, there's many different kinds of them, what are you supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? Count it all joy. Now, the word count is an interesting word here because the word count is an accounting term. And it describes making a calculation of something, right? In other words, be logical, not just emotional. And the reason I say this is because when we go through trials and tribulations and these things come upon us swiftly and we fall into them, we have the tendency to let our emotions arise and then we're making decisions and we're reacting based on how I feel instead of what I know. That's why you count it all joy. So what you do is, this is how I do it. Something bad news comes to me, some negative circumstances. Instead of getting all emotional and running to the phone, instead of running to the throne, I sit myself down and I say, "What did the Lord say concerning this?" The Lord said, these things are going to happen. Those that desire, like when somebody persecutes me or somebody comes against me and says some ugly things about me, and boy, it just caught me off guard, and it tries to devastate me, hurts my heart a little bit, I'll just pause and I'll say, those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And Lord, you also told me, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So I'll actually think about it. And, you know, I've used this example before. Somebody comes and says something ugly towards me, and I'll be like this. Okay, let's use my imagination. I'm calculating. You see, I'm counting things. And I'll calculate, and I'll be like, okay, so that person just slapped me across my right cheek. All you that study the Sermon on the Mount with me, you know where I'm going. Slaps me on the right cheek. Oh, man, that hurt. God, my heart. Boy, I want to smack him back. I want to react. I want to retaliate. But I imagine that great is my reward in heaven. So that person, when they leave me, are now going to my bank, getting my account number, and depositing $1 million into my bank account. Which provokes in me this response. Here's the other cheek. Which is what we're supposed to do. So my point is this, is that if I'll just sit down, not react emotionally, but react spiritually, logically, then I'm counting it all joy. And notice this, after he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, notice the next verse. Go back to verse 3, look at this one. Knowing, so this is how you count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I mean, was James living on the same planet we are? Did he go through anything? Yes, he did. You know what he's saying right here? I count it all joy because I know that when I go through it, it has spiritual benefits to me. The testing of my faith can actually produce patience, spiritual virtues in my life. So it makes me stronger spiritually. Now, trials don't make you stronger. I know people like to say that. Trials will make you stronger. Trials don't make you stronger any more than taking tests make you smarter. I know a lot of people that have taken a lot of tests and they're dumb. It's learning the information that causes you to pass the test. Same thing with going through a test of your faith, is that it's learning what you need to learn when you go through the trial of your faith. That it produces patience in me. So in other words, I'm exercising. And notice the next verse, verse 4. Then he goes on to say, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You might be wondering, why in the world are you going to this passage of Scripture and we're studying Revelation today? Because we're talking about birth pangs. Because how many of you know when you read this verse right here, you got to let that patience on the inside of you have her perfect work. In other words, this is the example he's using. How much of a monstrosity would it be if you... as if you were a young couple, you're married and all that, we're just supposing these things, that one night you go to bed with your spouse, the next day you wake up and your belly's this big and you're about to give birth to a baby. Do you reckon that might catch you off guard just a little bit? You reckon you'd not be ready for that? There's a reason God set these things up the way they do, of conception and then the baby growing, and you got 9 months to prepare for this, and then you have the warning signs of contractions and the water breaking. How many of you know the latter rain will come on the earth in the last days as well? Praise God. So in this whole process of the new heavens and the new earth being given birth to, water is going to break. Glory to God, and there is going to be a latter rain poured on the earth, such a great glory that eye has not seen nor ear has heard, but which God has prepared for those who love them. And it's going to be an exciting time, because then we're going to know latter rain equals, I'm counting here, latter rain equals babies on the way. I'm preaching better than y'all are amen in this morning, praise God. Oh, this is great. So let patience have its perfect work. In other words, there is a process for the baby after conception growing and developing and becoming perfect and complete and lacking nothing till it's given birth to. Oh, glory be to God. So these birth pangs and all these things that are coming upon the earth, they are all a part of the process for you and I experiencing something beautiful, great, and glorious. But my whole point that I really want to lay with you today, we are not appointed to the wrath part. We're supposed to be obtaining salvation and deliverance, which is Psalm 91, baby. Come on, y'all know Psalm 91, don't you? Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, the plagues, if you go through and read these in, we're covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11 this morning, essentially. When you go and read them, you know what you see? They're very reminiscent of the plagues that came upon Egypt. Did you know that? Now, what happened with the people of God that were here when the plagues came upon Egypt? There was a force field, thank you. There was a force field around this land called Goshen where they were living at, where they lived protected, they lived kept, and we too are kept by our faith for salvation, which is what we are called to obtain. Hallelujah. So I am not, you are not, appointed to wrath. We are appointed to obtain salvation. So that's the only way you and I should think. Even when the bombs are going off around us, even when the fire is getting turned up, even when these plagues are coming in north, south, east, and west, you and I do not go through the mentality of, oh, I hope these things don't touch me. What our confession is, nope, I am not appointed to this wrath around me. I am only appointed to salvation. God will keep me. Why? Because the seal of God is on my forehead and I am kept by the power of God because I believe Him who promised. Can I get an amen? Amen. So this is the whole point of what we should take away when we read about these trumpets, when we read about these different things. It doesn't matter whether... The point is, and I've already had people come to me and say, because they already think they got figured out what I believe about all this stuff. I said, quit going there. Don't worry about what somebody believes. People get very religious when it comes to this end time type stuff. That's not the point. The point is, I'm going to live my life ready and prepared. So whether I happen to be the woman that's given birth to these things, so I'm actually going through the pain, I'm here through it all, whatever, or I am the husband that's on the outside watching her experience it, that doesn't matter. The point is, baby's on the way, and oh baby, we got something good to look forward to. So when they go around talking about whoa, 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 our response should be what? Wow, wow, wow. Which I forgot to tell you, that was the title of my message today. Whoa or wow? To us, it's wow. It's an exciting time. Not for the world, not for the ungodly, but for us, we've got something to look forward to. And in the future weeks, we are going to go through looking at how everything is going to be in that day. And I'm telling you, it is exciting and it's the hope we should have in our life. And the only problem, the main problem that we've made in the church today is we've put too much of our hope in natural worldly things working out. And that's not where you want to put your hope. You put your hope there, down here, you're going to be disappointed. Put it up there. The Lord says, come up hither, come to my perspective, and see things from up here, and you can have joy in the midst of the storm. It does not matter what it looks like in the natural, because in the spiritual, it's all good, and it is, we're expecting. How many of you are expecting? Hallelujah. And that's what hope is. It's an expectation. So say it with me. So stand on our feet. Say it with me. Say, Lord, I'm expecting. This is something good. Baby's on the way. And I get to be a part of it. I lost some of you there. It's an exciting time. So we've got something good to look forward to. As long as we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under His shadow, we're in a good place. So praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the good news of faith, hope, and love, and all the good things You have prepared for us. We thank You for this revelation that, Lord, You prepared us. That there are, yes, there's going to be birth pangs, but there is going to be the birth of something beautiful that You and I are going to experience together, Jesus. We will rule and reign with You here on the earth, and this is an exciting time, a blessed time, where we can experience life with You and the joys of heaven on earth. We love You, we praise You, and we thank You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.